Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Trina. Thank you for listening. Obviously, massive, massive news in the sports media and sports world with Tom Brady and Fox announcing a deal for when Tom retires. 10-year deal for Tom Brady in the Fox booth as their lead analyst. So Andrew Marchand from the New York Post, who broke the financials on that, joins us. Marchand was booked before Tuesday when the deal came about. So great timing that we get Andrew's perspective on all this. And we it's not just a conversation about Brady. We get into a lot of layers of the Brady story, but then also some other sports media topics, what Amazon's doing with their NFL coverage, what's going on with Good Morning Football, looking for a replacement for Kay Adams, Kentucky Derby ratings, F1 becoming a big deal here in the United States. So a lot of topics with Andrew, but obviously heavy on Brady. And then following that conversation, Sal Licata, Train of Thoughts, with our weekly segment there with Sal. So that's what's coming up. Before we get to it, quick reminder, last week, Katie Nolan was on the podcast. 2 weeks ago, Ryan Russillo. 3 weeks ago, Kenny Smith. If you missed any of those interviews, go into the archives and check them out. And if you can subscribe to the SI Media Podcast, that would be wonderful. And even better would be reviewing it. And then I'll read some of those reviews on the pod on one of these episodes. All right, let's get to it. Andrew Marchand, followed by Train of Thoughts with Sal Licata right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular, and not to pat myself on the back, but how smart was I to text you on Monday to see if you can come on this week when we got the bombshell on Tuesday that Tom Brady is joining Fox. He is Andrew Marchand from the New York Post and the Marchand and O'Ran podcast. Andrew, how are you?
I'm well, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. I was going through the archives and I saw that you hadn't been on since February. And we had a good run here on the pod with guests. We had Katie Nolan last week, Ryan Russillo 2 weeks ago, Kenny Smith, Ian Eagle. I said, I think it's time for like a little state of the sports media world. Let me reach out to Andrew. That was on Monday. And now here we are with Tom Brady at Fox. So there's a lot of angles here. Let me start with this. Well, let's start with this. You came out 10 years, $375 million, and Fox said not accurate. Didn't name you specifically, but and I know you pushed back on that, but push back on it here. How confident are you that that number is accurate?
Yeah, it's 10 years and $375 million is the total of the deal with Brady and Fox. If you read their statement, you know, like, here's the thing. So they put out their statement. Obviously, I talked to them. They gave no guidance of what's wrong, right? So right. I'm trying to disprove something. I don't know what I'm disproving. Obviously, you never want a statement like that, but it happens, right? And they're, you know, there's particulars in reporting. But when I read the statement, there's nothing about the, it doesn't say the figures are wrong. Now, there are different numbers out there, so whatever. But I think they're talking about my number, right, or my reporting, perhaps. I think, again, I don't know for sure what their contention is, but I do think that the story has taken on that it's $37.5 million to be an analyst, and there is the ambassador role. And, you know, they did keep this very tight. And so there are things that Brady could be doing to help Fox that will make that money, that number, make even more sense. You could argue it makes sense now. I mean, we could get into that, you know, later, but I think that's where it is. So yeah, I can't really go to exactly what they're speaking of. The number is, you know, that's what I have three sources on that. At 10 and 375.
So I brought the money first because I want to get it out of the way, because unlike most people, I don't really care about the money or get as wrapped up into it as everyone else. I mean, I don't see how you can worry about what athletes, celebrities, movie stars, what they're, if you're the average Joe like us, like whatever, 200 million, 375, what's the difference? I will say, for people who are outraged by the salary, one, this is not exactly going to like break the bank here for Fox. They can afford it. And as we've discussed before with Romo and the others, Aikman and Buck, when you pay what these networks are paying for the NFL contract, paying an announcer this kind of money is not totally insane. I had someone prominent, you know, explain it to me, like, you know, if you buy something fancy, you know, let's say you buy a mansion, you're not going to fill it up with furniture from Walmart. No disrespect to anyone who has Walmart furniture. I'm not making fun of people with it. I'm just saying, if you buy a mansion, usually then you buy expensive furniture to put in the mansion. So if you're spending billions on an NFL contract, it's not that outlandish that you would spend that kind of money to get the greatest quarterback of all time and someone who has now crossed over into Celebrityville to be your announcer. And as Fox stated, an ambassador, which I think will be a big part of this.
So two things there. Number one, yeah, I mean, that's agent talk and it's worked and we see where the salaries are, right? You're paying this many billions. So what's another $20 million a year for certain people? Then Tony Romo happened. Remember, Tony Romo's first contract was for 3 years and around $10 million. His second contract was 10 years and $180 million with CBS. They had the pressure of ESPN not being able to figure out a booth, which is where all this kind of emanates from, ESPN's inability to be satisfied with their Monday night booth. Then this is where the argument of you have to pay these people. If you want Tom Brady, this is what it costs.
Right.
That's the cost of doing business. He's made $300 million playing, $300 million plus. His wife is a supermodel. Maybe I think that she makes the most of any supermodel, whatever, ever or something. And then he can do others. He has other businesses. Right. And that, getting back to that other first discussion, too, that could be, maybe there's some kind of something else where there's a business aspect to this deal that they didn't reveal. But that's not necessarily wrong. I mean, they didn't reveal that. But anyway, getting back to the topic. So if you want Tom Brady, this is what it costs to get Tom Brady to travel every weekend. If he, you know, and do these games.
100%. Now, one area where the money does come into play and is interesting to me. And it's sort of a two-part thing here. I had Troy Aikman on the SI Media pod in the midst of all this. And well, not in the midst of all this, after he had left Fox and joined ESPN. And he said he thought maybe Fox letting him go was sort of them trying to do a market correction on the announcers. Clearly, that theory cannot be more wrong based on what happened on Tuesday. And then your podcast partner, John Oran, came out with a tweet, a few hours after the announcement that Fox started negotiating with Brady around the time Troy was negotiating with Amazon to possibly go there for Thursday night. Now, I wrote in my column on Tuesday no proof, speculation. But to me, that comes off as Fox was pissed that Troy was dancing with Amazon. How off is my theory, do you think?
No, your theory is correct. I mean, John's talked about it a lot on our podcast as well, that, you know, Fox was mad. I've heard that similar thing. I mean, even talking to people since the deal went down. I mean, this is definitely, you know, there's a feeling. I don't know this for like 100%. That's like, hey, this is a screw you, Troy, kind of thing. You want to leave, complain about how we treated you, dance on your way out about maybe going to Amazon and ending up at ESPN, acting as if, you know, we didn't treat you well for 20 years if you're Fox. And now they get Tom Brady. Now, I don't like, look, I've heard this, right? Like, this is one of the things you hear a lot of different things. You brought it up. So can I say that's 100% like that's what they were thinking and that's what they did? I can't tell you that. Right. But that definitely is in the ecosystem of sports media talk.
And what I would say one thing in Troy's defense, because he did a bunch of interviews, did a couple with me included, other pods as well. And I don't recall him ever saying he wanted to or planned on or would leave Fox for Amazon. What he had said many times was he would do both, or, you know, and maybe come up with a hybrid package where he's doing Thursday night Amazon and 425 Fox on Sundays. Now, I could see that still pissing off Fox, but I never really heard Troy out and out say, like, I'm going to leave, you know, for the most money or something like that. And I do think, in Troy's defense as well, he needed to get closer to Romo money just because that's what you do if you're in that class. So it does seem like a little bit of I don't know, maybe Fox is being a little overly sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, I think there might be more behind the scenes that we don't know. And so you have to factor that in. But yeah, I would say this, like, I'm not really taking a stand on this, like, you know, Fox side or Troy side here. But if, let's say I did an interview for a column about Jimmy Traina, and in the interview you said, you know what, I may go write for ESPN.com, you know, I'm already talking to them, I'm not sure SI would be like, oh, that's cool, all right, Jimmy, you know, right. Again, it's you know, a little different. It's Troy Aikman, it is public, there are reports about it, he is doing these podcasts, and he was open and honest, and so, you know, in some regards I could say, you know what, Troy's just being open and honest, we ask everyone else to be honest, he's an analyst, this is his job, and bottom line is, you know, that's what he did. But I could see Fox also being like, what the heck, man? You've been here for 20 years. Why are you going to talking about where you might go next?
But the other issue, too, I don't want to come off as just a you know, the defender of Troy, but also
but too late, Jimmy, just the record, too late.
But his contract was up.
Well, yes. I mean, but they also, he negotiated an opt-out. Right. He had an opt out. He could, if he didn't want to do Thursday nights, he could have opted out of Thursday nights to give him, to get him to continue to do Thursday night. At least that was what the leverage was. They gave him a 4-year extension and they gave him an opt out after this season. This, you know, just ended. So they gave him an extension, but then he could go try to get more money on the open market. And he did. Right. And that's his right. Like, good for him. He got $18 million a year. That's a great deal. He's going to do Monday Night Football. He gets a Super Bowl. And it turned out he got to work with Joe Buck, who he wanted to. I mean, that part of it, though, I mean, he wanted to work with Joe Buck so badly, he was leaving. So, I mean, he would work with Al Michaels, most likely.
It worked out 100% for Troy. He has nothing to be upset about. But it does seem like, you know, just because he said in an interview, you know, he was talking to him. I think it had leaked it. You probably leaked it anyway. I mean, it was out there.
Already said that, you know, I'd written Amazon and Acorn a while back.
I give him credit for not lying about it and saying, you know, listen, this is what's going on.
Like, look, I think a lot of it, there's probably more to it, right? Like, there's things that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that we don't know on the interpersonal level, but from both sides. Like, I've heard things from both sides where there is disappointment in some things that happen maybe behind the scenes.
Yeah. And I do think, and you had written this in the past couple of days, and you were dead on 100%. You know, Fox does have, you know, if you can say Tom Brady is working for you, and Tom Brady's part of your company, you can trot Tom Brady out at various things, you know, his appeal is bigger than anyone else's. So in the NFL. So I get it from that standpoint from Fox.
I mean, Tom Brady's a no-brainer, right? There's two guys who are basically no-brainers. It's Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And, you know,
and Tom more than Peyton.
Yes. Now he's 5 years out of the league. Yeah. He's considered by many, not by me necessarily, even though he's great. Greatest career ever. I don't know if he's the greatest quarterback ever, but we don't have to get into that.
Yeah, we're not our specialty.
But he's amazing. He's great, right? And he's the best champion. And he's probably, at this point, you have to say the closest thing to Michael Jordan there is in sports, at least for last, like, for our lifetimes. Right. Well, LeBron, too. Tiger, whatever. Right. So we're getting to a sports media, back to it. So, but yeah, if you think about it, what is Tom Brady worth? And let's just say he's good and likes it. I mean, this could be like an all-time home run. Right. Now, do I think he could be very good? I do. I think that's possible. I also think he might be like, yeah, I'll do this for a few years and then something better is going to come along. Because I do think like the Dolphins thing where he would have gone to Miami and had some part ownership and played for them. I think that was real from people, not only from obviously other people have reported that, but from people that I talk to who have, you know, some access. How real? I think that legit smoke, legit fire, and then it was extinguished. Now, would it have happened? You know, again, I don't cover the NFL. I think Tampa had his rights, and there's a lot of things that had to go on. But I think that was legit. So if you think about Brady's mindset, he was thinking about maybe going to run a team. Now he's going to call games. So it seems like he's trying to figure out what his post-playing career is going to look like. And now he has this huge contract in his pocket, but that doesn't mean he necessarily has to do 10 years. I mean, maybe he'll love it. Maybe this is the best thing he has, but could something else come along? And you could do both things. Because the other thing about this job, it's 5 months, really. I mean, when you think about it, it's 5 months that these guys are making this money. And obviously, he's going to be an ambassador, so there'll probably be some sponsorship things here and there. But, like, it's not a full-time, 5 days a week job. He'll probably jet in. There's a chance, you know, when he does it, he could private jet in, day a game. Some guys do that, these top guys. And then jet out, day of games.
I'd be surprised, because I do think he's going to – his personality is he will give it his all and go 100%.
Well, I'm not saying not give it all with that. I'm saying, like, you know, you can do stuff on Zoom.
They do the meetings the day before. I think he's going to want to have some chemistry with Burkhardt and Aaron Andrews.
If he's smart, he'll do that. If he's smart, he will, in my opinion, if you want to be good. Because the one thing is that it's harder than people think. Like, everyone now on social and everywhere has an opinion on every, you know, sports caster and analyst. But it's harder than people think to actually be in that booth. A lot's going on, and a lot depends on Burkhardt. Burkhardt is excellent, in my opinion, and he'll help Brady a lot.
Right. Absolutely. I agree. Everything there. The other aspect of this now is, what does Fox do until he retires? You seem, based on what I've seen from you, you seem pretty strong that they'll put Greg Olson in that spot until Brady retires, which I'm not sure if I'm Greg Olson, how much I appreciate that. But what are you hearing on that?
Yeah, look, if I'm Greg Olson, I run to that job. I have I talk to a lot of friends, you know, and they have work things like not counting. This is one of my favorite sayings, not counting, you know, obviously death or sickness or something awful. But usually the worst thing that happens to you in like your career is a lot of times the best thing. Right. And so to me, this actually creates an opportunity for Olson. He goes in there, he gets a year. He's at least and he'll do a Super Bowl. So first off, that's a great thing. He's like mid-30s. He has a podcast company. People seem to like him. We'll see. Pressure is totally off him. If he's the number one guy, there's no Brady. It's all about, is Olson good enough? Do they do this? Do they do that? Now, he's kind of could become the people's champ. He does well. Maybe. He does well. Let's just say he's good. Let's say he's really good. He does well. Then they're bringing in Tom. Go ahead.
Here's the problem. Greg Olson's going to have. It's just a numbers game. There's nowhere for him to go for a long time because of the insanity of what's taken place the last 6 months. Every booth now, every number one booth is set up. I mean, maybe Collinsworth. I guess Collinsworth would be the oldest out of all of the analysts, so maybe that can
that's
be
NBC. The so that's avenue. One. That's right. One.
But Troy's not going.
You think Brady? I mean, look, if I had to give Jimmy Trana an over-under and he retires after this year, you have Brady doing 3 years or less.
Oh, no, he'll do. I think he'll do more than 3 years.
You think he'll do more than 3 years? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
definitely.
But let's just say Brady
and
doesn't.
And Romo and Troy aren't going anywhere, and Herbstreit's not going to go anywhere on Amazon. So Greg Olsen just has nothing to do with Greg Olsen. He's just blocked by a numbers game, I think. At this
I guess
point.
Things happen, though. Like, maybe. But, like, yeah, these jobs don't open that often, yeah. And they are sold. But if he does well, he's 36 years old. Like, if I'm him, I get my ego out of the way. Maybe they give me a little more money. And I say, you know what? This happened. This could have happened. It would have been great. But instead, I'll get another year, work with probably Joe Davis. And I'll get even better. Or not when if he moves back to number two and Brady comes in, excuse me. I'll work with Burkhart. I'll be on the number one team. And just, if I were him, I'd just try to kick butt and then see where it goes. And I think they brought Drew Brees in. That would have been a little bit different, you know, because that would have been a little bit blow to his ego.
I was going to save that for later, the Drew Brees.
Okay, all right, well, let's save it for later.
But the other thing I just wanted to say on this, one thing that no one has talked about, which you have to be a real inside media nerd like myself to care about, is if it's already announced Burkhart is Fox's number one play-by-play man. Let's go off of the assumption Greg Olsen is the number one analyst until Tom retires. They need a number two team, which is a very important booth. Because, okay, you're in the NFC there. You're going to have two good games a week a lot of the times. If you figure in, you know, Dallas is always a top draw. You got the New York market, Chicago market, the Rams. So you need a good second booth, which is what Burkhart and Olsen were. And we really haven't heard anything about that. Do we know what Fox will do for that second? Because in some years, that second booth gets a playoff game as well.
Yeah, next year they would have a playoff game. So right. I think Joe Davis and Adam Amin are the two candidates. I think it's Davis. More likely, but not definitely. And then in terms of the analysts, they like Mark Sanchez a lot. They have Jonathan Vilma as well. I think they probably at this point go in-house. You know, could Drew Brees come over? I don't see that now. I mean, I do think if the Brady thing didn't happen, Brees was on the on-deck circle, you know, as being in play, that they might have tried to get Brees, and you know, we could talk Brees and like everyone. I mean, there's a case you could talk yourself into Drew Brees. I would have gone Greg Olsen over Drew Brees, like if it came down to that.
Listen, they'll never do this, and I probably shouldn't push for anything because I've gotten what I've wanted lately. Harlan's going to call the Western Conference Finals for TNT. We got Tom at Fox, which I said, but they should make Gus the number two guy there and get him off college football. But that's just my own personal thing. They're never going to take him off college football, but that's what I would do if I was them. This is what I don't understand about the Drew Brees thing. What I don't understand is why he'd be a hot commodity after he gave an awful performance in his one opportunity to call a big game.
Okay. Well, here's the case for Drew Brees. Okay.
Right.
Number one, I think if you watch the Notre Dame games,
they don't count.
Okay.
This is the NFL. Notre Dame is not the NFL.
What do you mean? Him being an analyst on these games?
Yeah, but the pressure, the response from fans, what you need to know, how important it is. It's a whole different ballgame.
Sorry. So Drew Brees has one bad game.
Well, I've said this before. That was NBC's fault. They had no business giving him a playoff game and giving him that spotlight for his first big assignment. Notre Dame football doesn't count. Nobody cares. NFL playoff game. And he put that performance.
I disagree. Like, he's true. We're going to put Tom Brady in a booth. We put Tony Romo
again,
in a booth.
He's Tom Brady.
Hey, Drew Brees knows. I mean, he knows football. Like,
Romo, you know, people forget Tony Romo's first game was a regional 1 o'clock Titans Raiders game on CBS. They throw him into the deep end like they did.
Yeah, all right. So, whatever. We will all agree that Brees had a bad game. We know that, right? But, like, if you're, this is how you could talk yourself into Drew Brees. If Drew Brees had never, did a game and was coming out now, he'd probably be offered $10 to $15 million a year to be a number one analyst.
Insane.
100%.
Yeah.
And so
insane.
Yeah. So it may be more, like when you think about Amazon, and where they're gonna go for McVay. And so the case for Drew Brees is that he has some experience. He comes in there with, you know, 6, 7, 8 games, whatever he did last year, and he's Drew Brees. Now, you and I might be focused on that he had a bad playoff game, right? But do you think the average fan really remembers or cares if he has a good game? So if you were Fox deciding this, you have to look at all the other games and say, was, and you say the Notre Dame games don't count. You're wrong about that. I mean, they count. You got to see what he did.
And
he was only okay. He wasn't great. He was only okay. But do you think that you can work with him, make him better?
Well, that's what's obviously there.
But he's Drew. He is Drew Brees, and they like big names. You know, at the end of the day, they wanted a big name, and you know, we're all trying to figure out. Trust me, and I had a million phone calls. Who are they trying to get? It's not Olsen. Who are they trying to get? And Tom Brady came off the radar for, you know, the people that I speak with because he went back to playing. So you're like, you know, okay, it's not gonna be Tom Brady. He's not available. And so, and he isn't, I mean, he's not, it's still not really going to be Tom Brady this year. It's going to be in the future. But Drew Brees is probably the biggest name available. Phil Rivers doesn't want to do it. They love Phil Rivers, Fox. They would have gone for him, but he has no interest in doing it. You know, for some reason, Kurt Warner doesn't get any play for these jobs. And then I'm trying to think who else. There was somebody else. Oh, Sean Payton. I mean, they never considered him for games.
Yeah, really. I guess I don't have that. Like, I don't get all hot and bothered by the name of Drew Brees. Like, I guess everyone else does. And I guess that's the factor there. So,
yeah, I would have gone Olsen over Brees. Like, if it come down to it, I think you have to
look the number one job.
For the number one job.
Right. I'm saying for the number two job, get creative and put Gus and Aqib Talib there, but they would never do that. I'd rather listen to Aqib Talib than Drew Brees, but I know that's not going to happen. I'm just saying my own personal,
right.
If I was in charge of Fox. You know, it's funny. I've said to people, I may have even said it to you, I don't know, but I've said it to people in the business over the last few weeks, like, you know, it's time to get a little bit creative with the podcast now that all of the NFL broadcaster madness is over, because we were riding that for so long. I had Joe on, Troy, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was time, NBA playoffs are here, get into that. And then we got this gift on Tuesday. We could milk it a little more. But is this over? I mean, I guess it's not over because Fox still has some decisions to make with.
I mean, the booth stuff, that will be, yeah, the Fox decisions. But I don't want to jinx myself. I don't think. I don't know if we're gonna get like a bomb, right? Like, yeah. I would think it's gonna be Greg Olson as the analyst. I think Joe Davis, his analyst could be interesting, but maybe they'll be creative. That's possible, but I'm not positive they'll be creative. You know, obviously any of these guys that they were to promote would be interesting, but I'm not sure it's gonna be like, oh wow, let's see what that is. I think it'll be more of I could be wrong, but they could be more of like what we are kind of expecting. Somebody gets promoted.
And in the end, it worked out for everyone. ESPN has Buck and Aikman, which is a great booth, and they have their Manning cast, and Amazon ended up with Al and Herbstreit, which I think they'll be very good. CBS was never really involved in any of this year because they locked up Romo and caused this. And then NBC has Tirico and Collinsworth, which will be a good booth. And now Fox has Brady. So now the most important thing of all of this, if I may just take a moment, just for a moment.
Yep.
Shelby, can we play a clip from January from the SI Media podcast for one moment? Because this really is the most important aspect. Here, week one, 425.
I can already see the look on your face.
Let's say you're in SoFi at 425 week one. You get on camera. Welcome to SoFi for the Rams and Seahawks. I'm Joe Buck, and he's the Hall of Famer, Tom Brady.
Okay, well, there you go. I if Tom Brady is standing there, there's zero chance Tom Brady is standing anywhere near me. I don't even think I've ever been in his maybe three times in my life, but that ain't happening.
I think Joe owes me an apology. Your thoughts?
Well, no. I mean,
there's a technicality there. He's not with Joe.
Technicality, you're 0-2, actually. Joe Buck's not going to be there, nor is Tom Brady. Sorry to burst your bubble. You did the whole Francesa thing, and then I just had to burst your bubble.
Listen, you could burst it all. I'm taking it as a win.
No, it's a win. It's a win, but it's not a full win.
I'll give you that. But it's a pretty decent win, I think. And I also wrote in the column, but we can't play that Fox and Brady made total sense. I had said many times.
Well, what makes it is Joe Buck saying 0%. That's what makes it, because he's at 0%,
right.
And then you got to have your prediction being pretty right. Because at that point, let me ask you this, though. Do you remember, was Brady unretired or he was retired at that point?
That was in late January. So, no, he was retired. He was retired. Yeah.
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 That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good, because maybe if he does
Once he retired, I said all along, someone better hire him and put him in a booth. And I would get just complete vitriol on Twitter about he doesn't want to do it. Why would he do it? He's never going to do it. And I don't want to get into a whole thing about, you know, clearly being at home with his family was not for him. So all you had to do was, and here's the thing, Tom Brady, this is why I think he'll be good. And this is why I thought he would do this all along. His whole life is football. That his entire, I mean, he's out here. I mean, once he got let out of the cage of New England, he's doing the man in the arena. He's doing Sirius XM every week. So clearly, like if you were paying attention, he was clearly getting involved in media. His whole entire life is football. So this to me made sense from day one. And I was always surprised there was so much resistance when I would throw it out there.
Yeah, like I would be shocked. Like, you know, we talked about the other thing, you know, Tubi is Fox's streaming service and it has commercials and it's not, you don't have to pay for it. Right. And they could try to use him. I think he likes to do stuff, you know, sports related for kids. And also as just like Tubi, even when I said it, when I could see you here, I know we're on a podcast here, so a lot of people are just listening. You're like, what? You know, and yeah, that's the look you kind of gave me. And Tubi's not as known as possible. So could Tom Brady bring awareness to Tubi? I mean, he's a pretty good person to bring awareness to it. If they were to use him that way, again, that's just speculation. But like, I could see that. That kind of makes some sense. And the gambling space, of course, also makes sense in terms of using him on the Fox gambling platforms that they've.
I'd like to see Tom maybe, you know, once or twice a year do Friday Night SmackDown with McAfee.
Is he a wrestling guy?
Who knows? He doesn't have to be. Get in there and mix it up. All he's got to do is, you know, talk about what he sees, you know, in front of him. But yeah, I mean, I was surprised they'd announce his deal while he's still playing. But Tom Brady broadcaster does not surprise me. Think about that. People would say, like, why would he want to do it? Or would they say, why the fuck is he doing a Sirius XM radio show every Monday during the season?
Yeah, like, that's a good point. There are clues out there. Yeah, there are clues out there when you already.
That's the most bizarre thing of all. Like the guy plays on Sunday and on Mondays on Sirius with Jim Gray. Like he don't need that.
No, exactly. Like I don't know what they pay him, but like I can't imagine it can be like so much money. Like how much could they pay him for that?
Right.
Let's say half a mil, like maybe.
Sirius is not coughing up 300.
I don't think like a maybe like it's a million bucks. I mean, I don't know. I'm totally speculating. Please, nobody say, oh, it's $1 million. I'm not saying that. I have no idea what they actually pay him, but like, what could they make? Again, it's not that it's like heavy lifting. I'm sure the studio's in his house and he doesn't have to go anywhere and whatever, but yeah, it's a very good point. And he has his, what is it called?
TB12.
No, what's the production company? It's 199.
Oh,
Productions. Yeah. 199 Productions. I mean, it's in plain sight. I mean, I do think there's a feeling and I was guilty of this is that, you know, he wouldn't want to go to the booth. And my other feeling was that it would be there for Tom Brady whenever he wanted. And you mentioned, you know, he wanted to be home and stuff. So I know I've been covering athletes for a long time and, you know, they're going to say that, but I kind of took that like, all right, he kind of wants to, which I actually think was sincere. I think this got to a point where he had some interest. Fox then really at the highest levels really wanted him. And then those two worlds collided, which I kind of wrote my column about the other day. And it was like, at that point, the money kept getting higher and higher. And it's like, why wouldn't I do this?
I have not seen in my lifetime an athlete, an NFL player who has the NFL in his blood more than Brady. So to me, once he does retire, so then what are the choices? Coaching, front office, broadcast. I never saw him. I never thought he'd want to do the other two. I thought it would be broadcast all the way. So
the Miami thing is weird. Like, did he want Dan Marino lasted a day. I mean, again, Tom Brady's dedicated and all that kind of stuff, but like, it's a different job. I mean, that job's an animal, right? It's not like, hey, put this on my desk and I make a decision. You got to work like 20, you know, Derek Jeter, your guy. He worked at that, you know, Marlins job. That was a real job that Jeter did. And I give him credit for it. And, you know, maybe Jeter gets another shot someplace else running a team. But, you know, that's real work. And so I don't know if, you know, I'm not begrudging any of these guys. Right. I don't know why they'd want to really do that. I do think they want to be part of ownership. The NFL teams are too expensive probably for them to buy. But I also think, and I mentioned this in the column the other day, that post-playing career, these guys are the biggest men on campus for the world, right? Like, you know, you can be a big man on campus in high school, you can be a big man on campus in college. For almost everybody, it ends at some point. Right. Maybe not in their minds, but just in terms of your life. For these guys, it never ends, and they get to the top. So then they stop playing, and there's no scoreboard. And to get to that level, of course, to be that elite, it means you're a winner, right? Even if you don't win championships, you know, you're Dan Marino, Charles Barkley, you're still one of the greats of ever, right? Mm-hmm. And so where's the scoreboard? The scoreboard ends up being the bank account. And these guys, especially the greatest of all time, most of them, they want to be billionaires, right? That's right. Where they want to be. They want ownership. They see where what owners get to do. And that's sort of the goal post-playing career. And the elite of the elite, the ones we talk about with the word GOAT, with their names, you know, the Bradys, the Mannings, LeBrons, they've seen what Jordan's done and what Jeter's kind of trying to do, or has tried to do. You know, they see what those people have done. And I think that's where the scoreboard ends up going. And now Tom Brady starts off before he even throws his last pass. He's got $375 million coming to him over the next 10 years.
Last thing on this, and then I just want to move on to a little potpourri of other topics. Did you know this was coming? Did you hear rumblings with something you couldn't confirm and you heard? Or when Tuesday morning the announcement was made, were you taken aback?
Yeah, I was surprised. Okay. Like I'd mentioned Brady, like I said, when he wasn't, when he was retired, I mentioned that Fox is talking, you know, going to, I might have said they did talk to him or they're going to talk to him. But then I let it go as I was trying to figure out this riddle. And so when I woke up and I saw the earnings call and Brady is going to Fox, I was not expecting that. Right. Okay. You know, that was a double take. And then it was just get to work for the next like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Let's do just a bunch of other quick topics for the next 10 minutes, just because, like I said, when I reached out Monday, I had a bunch of things I wanted to get into. And then obviously Brady blew that up. But there's been a lot of things out there. You've written it, I think, about Amazon with Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman. Is this all for like a traditional pregame show, or are they looking for a Manning cast?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to have both those type of. They're definitely going to have the Manning cast alternative broadcast. Like, who does that? Okay. That I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's out of the question. You could do both. I mean, I'm pretty certain their studio show is going to be on site every week. So I guess you probably couldn't do a Manning cast as well. You know, the thing about that platform, and even Thursday nights, like Fox had a pregame show. Did you ever watch it really? You might have turned it on for the last 5 minutes, or did you go to it? Like you might.
I didn't know. I never yeah. went.
Was it like, was that go to? So that's like the question when we move, as we move maybe to streaming, is does anybody really do a pregame? Now they're going to have to do it because the NFL is going to want them to do it. And you got to, even if you're Amazon, you're going to have to please the NFL. So you're going to have to do it. I think the gold for them would be the postgame show. Right. Like, okay. You know, inside the NBA, it's really the post game show that's the gold. And so that's to answer your question, they will have many alternative feeds besides Allen Herbstreit. But those guys, as far as I've heard thus far, I think it's more Marshawn maybe do some features and then beyond that studio show. And, you know, I think if I'm them, I got to do things differently. Right. Like, I think there's this. Some viral videos. It's just a different animal.
You do. You have to do awareness. Things differently, but you, like you said, you also have to keep the NFL happy. So you got to. I think you got to do the mix of new and traditional. I think
you do, but like, I don't know. Yeah, you 100%. I mean, look, they went very traditional in the booth. I mean, you could say Herbstreit's right. a college guy, but right. he's established broadcaster.
Yeah,
they went with Al. And also, you have to. Let's just go back to Brady. You know, we can't leave Brady. Think about like this is something I probably should find out and not give to. But Amazon. They must offer like $10 trillion to Tom Brady when he was retired. They're going to offer Sean McVay $20+ million.
Maybe they didn't know Tom wanted to do it. Maybe they weren't.
I mean, they definitely not. They definitely.
Because if the Fox thing, what Oren said was Fox started negotiating with Brady back when Troy said he was negotiating. I mean, that was months and months and months.
No, ago. No, they were going for Troy first. Brady yeah. wasn't retired, so Troy right. Troy had wanted it. He would have been at Amazon and I think and Fox. He could have had that. Could have been done, and this, none of this would have happened. It would have been a shame. Okay,
you know, if you think of, if to, I'm going to think out loud, tell me if I'm being dumb. If Troy doesn't do interviews and say he's talking to Amazon, and he ends up staying with you know re-signing with yeah. Fox and staying there, Brady. Would have then probably ended up at ESPN if you think about it, because they were always looking to get that booth straightened out.
But but then again, you don't know. Like ESPN obviously is willing to spend, right? They just spend $1 trillion, but would they go 30 plus? Who knows? But
that you would know better than me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they might have in a big deal with everything. But it's easier to go. Like once Romo goes for 18, it's easier for you to go to 18. It's harder when you keep setting the nether. Right, yeah. But when you make these overall deals, like, look, I don't know Peyton Manning's deal exact numbers, but I think he's in the 20s, right? Just, you know, with the Omaha Productions and the Manning cast, and he's only doing 10 games. Right. And so, and you think about it, he just signed a 4-year deal, I think he's at. I mean, he's going to, he like these shorter deals sometimes are better, right? And in a couple of years, what is Peyton Manning going to get if it's still going well? And that's where it comes into, you also have, you know, Joe and Troy, it will be interesting. So, like, this is never going away, man.
Yeah.
We won't let
him. And is Kay Adams going to host the Amazon pregame show?
Do we know that? Maybe. I mean, that's where she was looking to. I'm not positive that's going to definitely happen. There definitely have talks, but it's not a done deal as far as I know.
And what do we know anything about who's going to replace Kay on Good Morning Football?
I heard some names, but not prepared to put them out there. But it's a big spot. I mean, you'd love that show, I know. But the whole NFL watches it. You look at the careers of what has happened for, you know, we'll see if like Kay Adams ends up at Amazon. That's a good spot. She's going to probably stay somewhat with the NFL Network as well. Nate Burleson obviously has become. You know, a mini stray hand, and maybe it'll be a full stray hand by the time he's done. Right. And then, you know, Peter Schrager's a star, you know, of all his jobs. And I like Kyle Brandt a lot as well with his energy. So, and the whole NFL watches it. So that's like a great place to be.
Absolutely.
And it's a lot of, you know, Rachel Benedict could have had that job. I don't think she's going to take it. Like, she's on the West Coast, and I just don't think she wants to relocate, and it's an early show. I also heard Emmanuel Sanders. They liked him. Andrew Hawkins. I think both those two could have maybe had that Burleson seat, but it just hasn't happened. I don't think it's going to.
Yeah, Rachel Benedict filled in a lot recently. I thought she was great. She would have been a good good host. I think she had good chemistry with Kyle.
Yeah, maybe she mixes in, you know, like they could do that. But I don't, from what I understand, she wants to be out west.
Another topic I wanted to hit with you. F1 has become a big, big deal here. 2.6 million viewers for this Sunday. Is it called a race? I don't want to sit here and act like I know what I'm talking about. I assume it's called a race.
Yeah, it's called a race. I'm not an F1 expert either. But
like, if you call a soccer match a game, people say like, "Oh, you're a fucking idiot." So I just want to like, okay, F1 race. I mean, that's a bigger number than baseball, hockey. Like, where are we going? Is this going to keep growing, you think? And our networks, is this going to be something networks keep wanting to get in on and battle for?
Yeah, I mean, look, their deal's up. I think Oran told me it was like $5 million they're being paid right now. So that's going to go way up. The issue with F1 is that part of its appeal, you know, a lot of people say the Netflix series, which is very, I've watched some of it. It's very good. But I don't think that's the whole thing. Like, you don't just have a Netflix series and like, then it's very popular. I think the makeup of the sport, no commercials, is how ESPN runs it. It's fast. There's a lot going on. Obviously, the personalities have become, you know, they've done a good job of presenting the different personalities of the drivers and the teams. But if you want a big fee, you're going to need to advertise, right? You're going to need commercials. You're going to need to figure out. So, and does that lose the appeal of it if that's the case, right? If it's, so I'm not an F1 expert either. But yeah, it's, you can tell it's having a moment. Yeah. It's kind of having that, like, I feel like soccer is obviously way bigger, especially worldwide and even in our country. But like, you get that on Twitter. I love soccer, so don't even start.
No, I have no issues with soccer. What I have an issue with is that for 30 years, I've heard soccer is going to become the most popular sport in the country. And then it's just repeated every year, that mantra.
Yeah,
I think it's popular.
Like, do you want me to give you 2 cents on soccer there or no?
No, I don't, because I want to shift into something else.
Go ahead.
But we could tie soccer into this in terms of ratings as well. Like 2.6 for F1 is bigger probably than anything soccer does here. Not World Cup, I know that, but all the other stuff. It is amazing too in this day and age where, you know, ratings are lower for most sports except the NFL. Like I said, 2.6 million for the F1, which is considered great. The NBA playoffs are getting 3, 4, 5 million on TNT, ESPN. Hockey's like, I don't know, 600,000 I saw for something. And here comes the Kentucky Derby. 16 million people still consume the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing that has been able to maintain what is now considered a huge number in this day and age.
Yes. And you think about the Kentucky Derby and you think about horse racing and where that's going. And I think I'm bullish on horse racing. Like, what did Fox get? The Belmont? They got the third leg. The third leg. So if there's a triple crown, Fox got something that's going to be pretty golden, which I thought was smart. And I think when you look at horse racing and you look at gambling in our country, I think it's in, you know, it's going to have a little bit of a renaissance, right? There's more gambling involved. More people are going to gamble. It's legal. Yeah. There's less, I don't know if guilt's the word, or less risk. You know, you're not using a bookie for some people. You know, some people probably still use a bookie. So I think that helps gambling. I mean, it helps racing because of the gambling. And I mean, obviously they had a historic race.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I know nothing about the art of horse racing or calling a horse race. And I don't want to sit here and criticize someone doing their job when I don't know anything about it. But just as a layman who watched, I didn't watch it live when it was on Twitter. I watched it because obviously the gambler in me, 80-1, I want to see what happens.
Yeah.
And I was like, why didn't this guy call? Like, he didn't call anything until the end. Like, he never called the horses. Am I off on that take? Like,
I think you are, right? Okay. That guy on a Marcian Orient Sports Media podcast, that got our call of the week.
That doesn't mean you guys can't be wrong just because you gave it the call of the week. I mean, you guys
we're not wrong. We're correct. Yeah. We're 100%.
I mean, that if that's the call of the week, we're in big trouble because the guy didn't call it until the very last point.
First off, was it Rich? Was it the horse's name?
Strike Rich or something? Or yeah, Rich Strike?
Rich Strike, I think. Rich Strike. The horse came in late. If you want to nitpick, and like, the problem is when I do these, I gave it a 5 out of 5 on Twitter. If I gave it if I give it a 4.96 out of 5, people go crazy, right? So it's like, either got to go 5 out of 5, even if you have a little nitpick.
It should have been a 2.4.
Are you nuts?
He never called the horse coming okay, and
so
taking over.
So to answer your question, I'm not like horse racing isn't my thing.
Me either. So
but I know enough about like sportscasting to be able to kind of think about it in my head quickly. You realize how fast this is going?
Yeah.
So if you wanted to, he could have gone to Rich Strike and people are like Strike Rich, whatever, Strike Rich.
Yeah.
He could have been there. I watched it like four times before he could have been there 3 seconds earlier.
That's my only point. Let's end it right there. That's it. You don't have to say another word.
But you have to understand his mouth can only go so fast and he has to say the first two. So the only criticism you could give it was 3 seconds. But then
that was my only point. Perfect. I'm not trying to criticize the guy. I'm sure he's an excellent broadcaster.
2.4.
What?
You said a 2.4. I thought you
I'm
missed.
Kidding. You came out with a 5 out of 5. I mean, let's not get crazy. That should
and
be reserved
the Chris Russo thing. I know nothing about this subject. Here's my big opinion.
Yeah, but you told me I was right. So that's what matters in the end.
I know you're not right. He was 3 seconds behind where he could have said it.
I want to nitpick. That's what I do. I nitpick.
It was a great call. Great call.
The last second of it was, but I never knew the horse was
15 seconds. Oh my goodness. The inflection, you knew, even if you don't know horse racing, something just amazing just happened. Obviously, the horse came from out of nowhere. You think he should be calling the horse is an eighth? Like, think about how fast it's going. You think he should be saying us who's an eighth? And
I think at one point he needed to say, "Here comes Strike Rich." At some point, it was just like, "And Strike Rich wins it."
Strike Rich did not come until like the last, I don't know, 100 yards.
I could listen. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm asking the question because I don't know. But to me, it seemed off. But that's even if I'm wrong, that's not a 5 out of 5. You better be more careful with your clickers. Your clickers have a lot of weight. That's not a 5 out of 5.
I'm getting soft on the clickers.
Yeah, seriously.
The thing is, if I win, well, here's the problem with that. All right, maybe you're right. If I go 4.87 out of 5, it's. You know what? It's a whole thing. And then you got to explain, well, where's the 0.13 off? And then the whole thing is about you can't social media. That doesn't even count. Right. It doesn't.
I'll give you that.
Can't, because then you're spending the whole time, all these people being like, yeah, you're so hard. You're such a jerk. It's like, I don't need that either. I rounded up. The rating probably is 4.87 out of 5, which is a tremendous rating. Anybody should be thrilled. You put that on your resume, but I probably rounded up to 5. So I didn't have to have people say, oh, you're nitpick, you go do it, yada yada.
The last thing, I'll combine these into two things. I keep getting emails from ESPN and Turner about big ratings increases for the NHL playoffs, and then the viewership is like 654,000. I would assume that's not great, and they're just giving me PR spin. And then the other thing too is, I know the USFL is getting like 1 million for some games and under 1 million for others, but I've never heard one person in my entire life mention the USFL to me. So where are we with the NHL and the USFL right now?
Well, the NHL is a digital deal. Really.
The NHL will build. They'll build too as the rounds go on.
Yeah, they'll build as the rounds go on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the same thing that kind of happens to baseball. I mean, obviously hockey's not baseball as a TV sport, but it's a regional sport. Right. If the Rangers are here and, you know, if they were to advance in the playoffs, the numbers in New York will be good. You know, New York's tough because it's a big, you know, hard to get a big share because of, you know, so much diversity of things to watch and people and et cetera. But so it's not like the national rating to me for them is never going to be like amazing. And it's just, you know, maybe if you, it's like, it's one of those things, it's just not there. Hockey's not there. Like as a,
I want to point one thing out just to be fair too. I do think when they're sending me the ratings, it's the rating for a game that's on like TNT or ESPN, but they're also shown locally. So
yes,
that does take a big chunk out. So
most people are going to watch MSG Network when the Rangers are playing over ESPN. They're used to that.
And then the USFL.
USFL. I mean, this is just a TV experiment. And I think overall it's pretty much working. I mean, you watch it, there's like, if it's not the Birmingham Stallions, all the games are in Birmingham. If it's not the Birmingham Stallions,
all the games are in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Like every USFL game is in Birmingham.
Yes.
The New Jersey team plays in Birmingham.
Yes.
What are we doing?
It's a TV show. They're creating a TV show and then they're going to make it a league.
Oh.
It keeps costs down.
So wait. If there's two non-Alabama teams playing there in Birmingham, is anyone in the stadium?
No, there's nobody there.
Oh my
like,
God.
Literally, what are we doing? Looks like, I mean, it helps that we were in a pandemic and we got a little used to nobody being in there, but there's no fans. So like honestly, some of the games there's like 15 people there. But it's a TV show, right? First off, Jimmy, you can put a wager down on it. Number one. And that's
you can in New York. You cannot in New York, just so you know.
Why is that?
I just know that on FanDuel, they don't offer it. But one of my friends texted me about it. And then I saw a bunch of stuff on Twitter. The USFL cannot bet on it in New York.
All right. Well,
legally.
All right. Legally. Exactly. There you go. So, all right. Well, but this is what I'm talking about is a long-term play for Fox, which owns an NBC, which is airing the games on and their cable networks for both of them. It's a long-term play, and they're just getting themselves on the, you know, their feet under them. And I will say, like, if I'm like the strategy, I do think you need to crawl before you walk. Like, I just think all these businesses, and we see it in, like, with VC and all these like Silicon things, like where they just kind of get too big, like too quickly, or try to be too big. And it's like, oh, they were, you know, supposed to be worth, you know, $500 million. Now they're worth nothing. So, yeah, I think they're trying. Yeah, eventually you would think that the New York, New Jersey Generals will be playing in New York or New Jersey. But that time is not now. But it's a TV show and they're trying new things. And, you know, you can evaluate the broadcasters. You know, people have opinions. Jack Collinsworth doing some play by play. Jason Garrett is an analyst. And so, I mean, Fox has a lot of their regular people. Yeah, it's a TV show, and like they're trying to see where they can go, but they're getting 1 million people watching.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is amazing. All right, I appreciate you coming on and giving us some clarity on Tom Brady and Fox.
If anybody's listening to it, if the second half of the podcast I sound a little stronger, because the first half I asked Jimmy before the game, the Yankees are playing as we're doing this, and I have it on, but I have it like on an angle, so I can just look. His screen is like totally to the right of his head. And there are times I'm talking. If you go back, this is my excuse. If I stuttered, he's like literally looking. I asked him before if he's going to watch the game, but he's literally looking and just not paying attention. I'm trying not to laugh. And I'm like pausing for a second there.
So what are you saying, that you didn't give a great performance in the first half of the pod because I distracted you by watching the Yankee game? Is that the summation of this tirade?
It's a post-game excuse-making session. Nah, I think I still pretty solid.
I thought you were better in the first half than the second half when you gave 5 out of 5 to the call that came in late, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, maybe so. Yeah. But I mean, look, if you watch on YouTube and you see Jimmy, if you watch his whole show, God bless you, on YouTube, you see Jimmy.
I'm watching the Yankees. Not my fault.
No, it's good. I'm watching them too, but I'm doing it subtly. Yours was just like, boom, I'm just 10 seconds. Mine's like a glance. Okay, the ball went off the wall. It's a run. Check out the score a little bit later. TV's to the side here. Yours is like a full, I'm seeing the side of your head. Like, I don't even know if you're still in the, like, listening at all.
Next time I ask you to come on, I'll make sure there's no Yankee Day game. That's the deal we'll make.
That's good.
All right. New York Post and the Marshan and Oran podcast. Check them out. Andrew Marshan, a regular here on the SI Media podcast. Always appreciate him coming on, and always a fun conversation when he comes on. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, joining me now for our weekly Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio SNY TV in New York, Sal Licata. Sal, how are you?
Pretty good. I can't complain, really.
Mets still rolling.
Mets and Yanks, they're becoming a national story eventually. I mean, I know it's big here in New York, but yeah, both those two teams, two of the hotter teams in Major League Baseball.
One thing I'll say about the Mets, which is has nothing to do really with the Mets. It's on a larger point here that everyone listening can appreciate. You know, they had a crazy comeback last week, down 7-1 in the ninth against the Phillies, scored seven in the ninth and won 8-7. And to me, this just backs up, you know, there's this old school versus new school theory. And, you know, Gabe Kapler, the manager of the Giants, caught a lot of shit recently because his team was up big and they were stealing bases and bunting for base hits. And, you know, they broke some unwritten rule. Well, if the Mets would have tried, I mean, if the Phillies tried to stop scoring in that game, then, you know, the Mets came back seven runs in the ninth. So to me, this whole thing where you're not supposed to try and you can't steal bases and you can't bunt, I've always thought it was nonsense. And I think that Met win sort of proves that. You're usually an old school guy, so where do you fall on that?
I think it's ridiculous that people would complain about a team trying to score more runs. I mean, right. Come on. Makes no sense. Especially in today's game. It was different back then. Especially in today's game. How can you complain about what you deem a team running up the score? Get them out. That to me is, it's just stupid.
Yeah, like if you're up 8-1 in the fourth, you're not allowed to bunt for a base hit. What kind of bullshit is that?
Yeah. I don't get it. I could see how somebody would think it's Bush League if, like, you have a no-hitter going and somebody bunts. But, hey, even that, it's part of the game. You don't like it, get the guy out. But I could see how that would rub people the wrong way. Stealing a base or trying to score more runs, I don't care how big a lead is. You got to play the game hard. If they can't stop you, that's on them.
Right. Again, that anytime anyone gets questioned, they just have to pull out that Met-Philly game. Another topic. I don't know why, you know, sometimes something happens and just hits you some way and you have sort of a visceral reaction to it. When I saw the video of Chris Paul yelling at the kid who was harassing his mother and wife, allegedly, it got me incensed because you just saw that you just knew from looking that kid was doing whatever his, you know, Kenny Smith on Inside the NBA on Monday night said he spoke to Chris Paul's mother and supposedly the kid kept poking her every time. So the kid was a Mavericks fan. So the kid kept poking her every time Dallas did something good. And I guess was being sarcastic and saying happy Mother's Day to her every time. Now, this is what I'm torn. So this is what I'm torn about. The Mavericks came out and punished the little punk, and he's not allowed to go to games until 2023, which to me doesn't seem like a sufficient enough punishment if he's poking someone's mother at the game.
Right.
Because I know you, if someone's poking your mother, you'd be in jail right now.
Correct.
Right. Now, I also don't, you know, should the guy be banned for life? I mean, that seems a little...
Well, let me ask you, why not? Yeah. Well, this is, you're talking about going to a game. Like, right. This is not, you're not putting him in jail. You're just saying, hey, you're not allowed. I guarantee you, James Dolan, the owner of Knicks, have banned people for a lot less than that. You can't do that. So he should be banned for life from going to a game.
Well, the only thing I would say is this. I don't really, listen, I would have a, I'd be more acceptable if he was banned for life than he's just banned till 2023. I think that's
how about
absurd.
20 years, 20 right. years, something like
right.
that.
My thing is this, I am a believer in you've got to give people a chance to change. Like, do I think, I mean, I have no way of knowing this, but in 20, 25 years, that kid maybe will grow up, learn his lesson and realize he shouldn't be poking people. So that's why I think banned for life maybe is a little much, but you've got to give him more than just, I mean, what are they going to have a couple more games left this season? And then big deal. He can't go to a game until 2023. I mean, there's no punishment there. Don't touch anyone in the arena. Like what do you do? The punishment's got to be more severe than that.
It's a weird punishment. Think of it this way. How would the Mavericks players feel if it happened to them?
Right.
Would they feel like that was a sufficient enough punishment? And you're right. Like he's a dumb idiot kid. Right. And we all make dumb mistakes. We all do dumb things. Now, some dumber than others. I can't imagine that would ever be acceptable in my mind. As many games I went to and as many times I've harassed fans verbally, you know, getting on a fan for wearing a jersey in the garden or, you know, booing fan, whatever, to poke where, you know, their mother, no less. Like, right. What are you doing? You
right. An older woman. Right.
You're just an idiot of a kid that right. will eventually learn the lesson. But there is a price to pay, and it should be more severe than just a year. So maybe you don't have to go lifetime ban. That's fine. 5, 10 years. He needs to feel the punishment and learn from it and become a better person. It's not the worst thing you could do, but right. it's stupid. And if I were Chris Paul, you're right. I'd be irate.
Irate. And here's the other issue. And if anyone heard a weird noise, I dropped a water bottle while Sal was ranting. There's no punishments anymore. How about the fact that this maniac who attacked Chappelle on stage, they're giving him like a misdemeanor and he had a knife on him. How is that not a felony? How is this person not in jail? I don't understand what we're doing.
People tried to compare it to Will Smith. It's totally different because he had a knife on him. Right. Like there's a big difference between walking up on stage at the Oscars, right. slapping somebody, which whatever we want to get, I don't want to get into that, but this right. guy charged. This is a right. random guy who charged Chappelle with a knife.
Right. Like Chris Rock and Will Smith know each other.
Right.
And Will Smith's using the defense of, you know, he made fun of his wife who's sick, blah, blah. What is this person's excuse? And then he doesn't even get in trouble. There's no punishment. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the proper punishment is by the letter of the law, but it's got to be something more than what he got. I mean, that's right. ridiculous. What if he stabbed him? I mean, we don't know what the intent is or whatever, but either way,
I
would have a zero tolerance policy with that crap. Zero right. tolerance.
Right. He didn't poke her once as a one-time thing. Oh, he was doing it repeatedly. Like, so he's being a punk and he should not just be able to walk back in there next year. It's absurd.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, let's switch topics. Did you watch the Winning Time finale?
No, I'm actually behind. I started to watch. How many episodes are there? 10?
10. The last one that was this past Sunday.
I have to watch 9. So I'm still behind 2 episodes. So no, I did not catch up on it. I love the show, though. It's out there. I love it, but I gotta catch up.
I won't give you any spoilers for the show, but it is funny because the ratings for the finale were excellent. In fact, I got them here. If you bear with me for 1 second, I should have it ready, but they were up 73% from the premiere episode. And then they were up 31% for the finale from the season average. I think my theory here is, you know, Jerry West did Winning Time a very big favor by suing and making a stink out of it, because I think a lot of people were like, oh, let me go see what this show's all about.
You're talking to one of them. I had it on my list as, oh, I'll get to it. Once that started happening, I was like, it moved to the top of my to-do list. I got to watch this. And I love it.
Yeah, it was. I do feel like there was a big wave for it the last few weeks in terms of people talking about it and buzz. So
now there's another season coming after this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I will be way more into that season than this one, because I think the natural progression is the next season should be all about Riley taking over, which we haven't seen yet. So that's what I'm interested in as an old school Knick fan. I'd like to see how Riley ended up taking the team over and how he got them to be the dominant team of the 80s.
Agreed. And I'll tell you one thing I think of when I'm watching this. Mm. I understand why Will Ferrell was pissed off. He missed. I mean, John C. Reilly is tremendous. I can't imagine anybody being any better. But at the time, I'm thinking, oh, who gives a crap? But now you watch how big this thing has become. Now you can understand why Will Ferrell was pissed off that he didn't get that part.
Yeah. I think him and Adam McKay may have, I think Adam McKay admit he may have handled it poorly, but I don't know if they've patched up the relationship there.
now the show's become popular. I'm sure it's going to be even more frustrating for Will Ferrell.
Speaking of entertainment, TV, movies. I know you are a huge, huge, huge Adam Sandler fan. I saw Netflix release the trailer for his upcoming movie, Hustle, which Kenny Smith is in and plays a big part in it. And Kenny talked about that on this podcast 3 weeks ago. And I mean, I'll admit it, I kind of faked my way through that whole part because I wasn't really familiar with everything. And then Netflix, the trailer came out on Tuesday. Basketball movie, Sandler plays a scout, tries to get some player, I guess, in the NBA. Are you like on top of this? Is this, you're into this? Is this part of your world as a diehard Sandler fan?
You'll love this. Literally on the walk over from my desk to record this podcast 5 minutes ago, one of the guys at his desk who's working at SNY is a big Sixers fan. There's 2 Sixers fans out there. And he was playing the trailer of this movie that I had never heard of. And I'm watching and I'm going, what the hell is this? Oh yeah, it's Sandler. He's playing this guy. I go, what? And now, like you said, you know I love Adam Sandler.
Right.
I mean, the movie looks atrocious. I want Sandler to be back to making funny, stupid comedy movies. This does not look like that. There's all these Sixers, your current NBA players. Kenny Smith, as you said, is in it. It looks horrific. And I would not even waste my time.
Did you like Uncut Gems?
I did.
Okay, so maybe you get, you know, have an open mind with this. Maybe this will be.
No, it's a little different. Sandler is a scout. I mean, and plus that movie had Francesa in it. So, of course, I was going to check that one.
Well, I'm going to Wait, what movie had Frances? Oh, Uncut Gems.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot and you can say no. Don't hesitate to say no. Think about if you want to do this. Do you want to tell people the story of when you met Sandler as a producer for Frances' Super Bowl show?
Yeah, it was one of the greatest and worst moments of my life at the same time. So me and Eddie Erickson are down at the Super Bowl on Radio Row producing for Mike. And we knew that I was like the assistant producer. Eddie was.
Do you remember what year this was, just for people to have context?
I would say it was Super Bowl? Great question. Well, it was after Dog left. I would say it was 2009. Let's say January, February of 2010.
Okay, go ahead.
So whatever that Super Bowl was, it was in Tampa. No, not Tampa. It was in Miami.
Okay. Anyway, Sal was producing for Mike Frances of WFAN, Afternoon Drive in New York. Go ahead.
Yes, early 2010, so 2009 season. And as a matter of fact, I think it was the Saints-Colts Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So we had Eddie booked both Kevin James and Adam Sandler. And we knew it was coming during the day. We're both excited. And when they came over to the set, I had to go with Eddie and like make sure we brought them over. Now, Mike's in the middle of doing the show and he's got whatever guest is pitching some crap that he's gone on at the time. Some athlete, some former athlete, whatever it is. And Eddie and I had left his side to go get Sandler and Kevin James. And now I'm not going to lie, we were giddy. I mean, I'm Sandman. I love Adam Sandler, Kevin James, whatever. But like, and Eddie was all into Kevin James. So Kevin James and Sandler, and we're like, oh, can we get a picture? So Mike is doing his show and must have noticed Eddie and I not there and saw us posing for pictures and all excited, you know, taking pictures with Sandler and Kevin James. And I forget how exactly or when exactly it happened, but when he went to break, he let us know that he was not thrilled with the way that we were acting like school children, so giddy and excited. And matter of fact, I think he brought it on the air. It's like, oh my gosh, Sal and Eddie, geez, you'd think they never met somebody before. It was like, he chastised us for getting excited. And I was like, instead of enjoying the moment and be like, oh my God, we just took a picture with Sandler and James, which I still have. We were like embarrassed and, you know, hurt that Mike ripped us for it.
So he humiliated you on the air in front of Sandler for fanboying out with Sandler.
I believe so. It may not have been on the air, but it was definitely in front of Sandler and James. Yes.
Now, you've told me this story a few times over the years, but I have no recollection that it was with Kevin James, who you later bashed on your radio show and who called in to bash you for bashing him. What an ironic twist.
That was an incredible story, right? Years later, I'm doing a show on the station of the Mets and just laying into Kevin James for not being a real Mets fan. He calls in. The producer's like, hey, Kevin James is on the line. I'm like, get the hell out of here. And meanwhile, it's him. And he goes on a 2-minute rant ripping me apart. I was like, that's why you're not on WFAN, and hung up.
Now you're on FAN. Did you
correct,
say
to him? So eat it, Kevin James. But wait, and your movies suck anyway.
Did you say to him, I have a picture with you?
No, I didn't. But I have it. I got to send you that.
You should have brought that up to him. You should have said we took a picture together. That would have been perfect.
No, I actually do like Kevin James a lot. I like his movies. And I love Sam. I love them both. But that memory, you're right, it was ruined because of Mike. Made us feel bad.
Last thing I want to touch on with you. Last week, we discussed the NFL having 3 games on Christmas Day. You went nuts. You hate it. I love it. This week, ESPN announced week 2. They're doing a Monday Night Football doubleheader. For those listening who don't know, they're doing one. ABC, ESPN will do one doubleheader this year. It's going to be in week 2. Next year in 2023, they'll do 3 doubleheaders. And the games are going to start at 7:15 and 8:30. So they're going to overlap. They're not going to be one right after the other like when they do 7 and 10. It's Titans-Bills at 7:15, Vikings-Eagles at 8:30. Do you like this or does this piss you off too?
Love it. I love these.
Oh, we got it. Okay, positive.
Yeah, I love these. Well, you're not messing with holidays, which is a big thing. But also, I just feel like, look, Monday night, you already know you're getting into the one game. And I love the idea of having an earlier start and then a game right behind it. So, yeah, I'm all for the doubleheaders. I wish it was a regular thing. I put it this way. I'd prefer the 2 on Monday than 1 on Monday, 1 on Thursday. I know that'll never change, but I like the 2 on Monday.
All right, let's end this now on a high note because Sal likes it. I like it. I wish they were spaced out a little more. I'd like 7 and 9 maybe or 6 and 9. I'm fine with that. But But I'll take it.
What time is it? It's 7 and what?
7:15 and 8:30, I believe.
Yeah, well, right. I wish it were more spaced out, too. I'd rather have the later. Why not just make it a true doubleheader starting at 10 o'clock or something? Make it a West Coast game.
My guess is, you know, it's interesting. I'm sure they have their reasons. I think maybe those later games, if they're not close, you know, you're talking midnight, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. I don't know what the ratings may be, not as good. And I think this is also, this is a way to, they want to get more games on ABC. So that's what's in.
Yeah, I do like it. I mean, I liked when that was one of the things about COVID that, you know, when these games are getting scheduled, you have the midweek doubleheaders. So I'm all for the Monday night doubleheader.
Yeah, I loved it when there was a game on like a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
All right, Sal, appreciate
it. All right.
Be well. Bye. Glad we ended on a high note.
I will talk to you later.
See you next week. All right, my thanks to Andrew Marchand and Sal Licata for joining me on this episode of the SI Media Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and review on Apple. That helps tremendously. If you missed any recent episodes, we've had some great conversations and interviews over recent weeks. Katie Nolan was on last week, Ryan Russillo 2 weeks ago, Kenny Smith 3 weeks ago. Check those out in the archives and subscribe. All right, that wraps it up for this week's episode of the SI Media Podcast. We'll see you next week right here. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.